from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to Jeffrey Wright and Company, live from the Red River Toyota Studios. Check out Red River in Wynn, Arkansas. Jeffrey and Company on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Tim Murray is the host of VSiN Primetime. It airs live weeknights from 5 until 8 Central Time. He's also the host of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast. Episodes available each and every week wherever you get your podcasts. On Twitter, at one Tim Murray. Tim, I guess we made it, right?
We're here.
I want to start here. So we got our first look at life with the quarterback coach communication, the new clock rules. I definitely had forgotten we had a 2-minute warning. That took me by surprise. And also, you could tell the college clock operators were not prepared for it either, because I felt like every game I watched, they stopped the clock at like 1:57 and then had to go back and add it to 2 minutes. I felt like that happened in all of them. But we had two big trends from week zero. All four underdogs covered, and covered by more than a touchdown. And then three of the four games went under, with the one game that went over, Montana State kind of having that furious final 10 minutes where they scored 21 points. Are we going to see a continuation of that this week, or do you think that we kind of probably should ignore what we saw on Saturday?
I tend to lean more towards the latter of ignoring such a small sample size of four games. You know, it was interesting for those who follow the market. Line moves were kind of, you know, if you were what we deem a steam chaser, right?
Yeah.
You go with the line move. Oh, the sharps are on this side, so I gotta bet that side. You went 1-3 because the market bet up Hawaii like crazy. They didn't cover any of those numbers. The market bet up Montana State like crazy. They didn't cover any of those numbers. Nevada or SMU got bet up by like a touchdown. They didn't cover any of those numbers.
They didn't even get close. They were so lucky to not lose.
Right. And then, you know, the only one that the steam did come home on was, of course, Georgia Tech, who pulled the outright upset, and the sharps seemed to be on that. So, you know, look, I think especially early on in the year, you know, sharps, guys who can move the market, they are, you know, they're still kind of trying to figure things out themselves, and they're betting numbers, and, you know, it's college football, man. Like, nothing is a perfect science, and, you know, line moves in the NFL, because those games tend to be a lot more tight, and, you know, the point spread or the totals are a little bit lower. Big line moves maybe are a little bit more impactful. So I'd be curious to see, because, you know, you got to remember this. These lines have been up for months, you know, late May, early June, depending on what book you're looking at. So, you know, these lines have been kind of manipulated and moved. And then, you know, you get a situation like today. I'll go in the weeds a little bit. Charlotte head coach Biff Poggi comes out for his weekly press conference and says, eight or nine of our starters are hurt.
Yep.
And it was like, what? And that had been a situation where that line had moved about 5 points through two key numbers. It opened James Madison as an 11.5-point favorite, got bet all the way down to 5.5, so a 6-point move, which is pretty significant. And then Biff Poggi says, yeah, 50% of our starters are hurt. And then that line goes, whoop, back up to 8.5. So, you know, it's, you know, a lot of people are trying to figure things out, and, you know, you're going to see line moves this week. And, I'll end up betting a bunch of games because that's just, I can't help myself. But I always tend to want to tread lightly in week one because we just don't know, especially in this day and age with the transfer portal and all of that. And, you know, coaches are going to lie, and they're not going to tell you, unless you're Biff Poggi, about your injuries, right? And, you know, I was talking to a buddy today about, Notre Dame and their offense and their defensive lineman Howard Cross, who's missed a bunch of camp due to a hamstring injury. I'm like, well, if he doesn't play or if he's not 100%, like, that's a significant loss for Notre Dame. I mean, he's one of the most disruptive defensive linemen in the country, and they already lost their backup to him in Gabe Rubio for the year. So, you know, you're trying your best to cipher through all the information that's out there, try not to overreact to too much to what we saw in week zero, whether it be good or bad, right? Florida State, oh, they stink now. Georgia Tech, oh, they're great now. Or maybe they're somewhere in the middle.
Yep.
You know, so it's, and that's where you got to kind of figure that out. What's the overreaction? What's the right move with the market? And that's what's fun about this thing, trying to figure out this big old puzzle.
Let's start with what are the game? I'll start with the ones that you like the most, and then we'll get into the big game. So what stands out to you right now?
Well, I mean, I'll start with a big game. 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 your time, at the Swamp. I'm fascinated by this game. Miami at Florida. I think this is a really intriguing game. You know, Miami, stop me if you've heard this before. Ooh, buddy, they got a lot of buzz, don't they?
They got, I don't know if you know this, the roster's really good, and they got an exciting quarterback.
And they're good on both lines, and they got Damian Martinez, the transfer from our beloved Oregon State.
RIP.
Cam Ward, they still have a football program.
Do they?
Sort of. And then you've got Florida. And look, I'm guilty of it. You know, their schedule is brutal, right? You look at the back end of Florida's schedule, and they play five. Well, I guess Florida State's not going to be a top 10 team anymore, but they play five top 15 teams. Well, it's not November. It's August. And they haven't played any of those games yet. So I'm just waiting back, man. This is where sometimes it's important to be patient. You know, last night there was a 3 at DraftKings. We can't bet DraftKings here in Nevada, so I have to get a little creative and maybe make some calls. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it was the middle of the night back east, so I could not make said call, and that 3 got scooped up. I think we see a 3 again, but I think Florida wins this game. I really do. And I think they've spent the entire offseason probably just sitting back and it, you know, Sunbelt Billy is taking it all in. This is a massive game for him, man. Like, he's massively on the hot seat, right or wrong, and he knows he needs this game. I mean, that schedule that I alluded to, Georgia at Texas, LSU, Mississippi, Florida State. Yikes. Like, what team could go through that? So I think Florida, I think they win this game, but I'm going to wait until we can get the 3. So that game really high on my radar here this weekend.
So if you like the Gators like both of us do, you say wait. You think we'll get a better number than a worse number?
Yeah, I was texting with a guy who I would deem much sharper than me, and he said be patient, and he thinks it'll come. I think the public – I saw BetMGM put out some of their public numbers already, and – let's see. John Ewing tweeted this out. 69% of their bets as of 3 hours ago were on Miami, -2.5. So I think we might get a 3. You know, my gut tells me is I think the 3 could show up like as this week goes on, and then I think we get game day steam on Florida. That would be my prediction on where this game ultimately. I think this game goes off like Miami 1.5, but I think we might get the 3 at some point during the week.
Why is that Clemson Georgia line still 13.5?
You think it should be higher?
Yeah, and it scares me.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a little bit of movement towards Clemson on this one. I don't want anything to do with that game. I actually am a little higher on Clemson, I feel like, than most. I think in our, you know, VSiN college football betting guide, which you can get at VSiN.com.
I was going to ask if I needed to plug that, but thank you.
Nah, that's all good. I haven't made a bet on the ACC futures market. But my prediction was Clemson and Miami play each other. So I feel a little vindicated that Florida State is more than likely not going to be there. I don't want to mess with this game. Like I keep going back and forth thinking like, I mean, Georgia, you lose Bowers, you lose, Ladd McConkey, all these other pieces, but they're going to be mad, man. And they've just been recruiting at an elite level. I think 14 seems to be kind of the buy point for folks on Clemson. And I really don't want anything to do with this game. I think I could see Georgia blowing them out, but I could also see Clemson kind of keeping it competitive for a decent chunk of this game. So I'm going to sit this one out. But it's pretty wild to note that Georgia, from a power rating standpoint, is a 2-touchdown favorite over Clemson on a neutral. Like, that just tells you where this Georgia program is. And also, it shows you where Clemson has gone, right? I mean, it wasn't that long ago. I think, when did Clemson, I'm going to pull it up right now. Clemson opened up the season against Georgia. How many years ago was that?
The one where it was like,
it was, all right, it was 2021, and it was a neutral site, and Clemson was a favorite. And 10-3 was the final. That was when DJ Uiagalelei, that was his job, right?
2021, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was the Charlotte game where JT Daniels. Yeah.
So think about that real quickly. In 2021, the betting market told you Clemson was better than Georgia. Now, Georgia won the game. But the betting market said that Georgia was 3 points worse than Clemson. 1, 2, 3 years later, Georgia's 14 points better than Clemson. That's wild.
But Clemson's still ranked 14th as well. I mean, they're 14-point dogs and number 14.
Exactly.
In the country.
Now, remember this. Odds makers, and this is what I've been told many, many times, they don't make rankings. They make ratings. So that is something that, you kind of like, I'm sure neighbor Nick is very confused by Texas A&M as a 3-point favorite over my Irish. Well,
That number scares me because I've liked A&M all summer, and now that number, like, I don't know. There's something about them being if that's like a 3-point dog, I feel better. It's almost like the reverse Florida thing.
I would be on A&M or pass here. I have bet the under, and even at 46.5, I would probably still look at it. I love the Notre Dame defense, but I keep thinking that Howard Cross, who I mentioned earlier, is not 100% healthy. Now, what I'll say about Notre Dame from a defensive standpoint, you've got a defensive-minded coach in Marcus Freeman, you've got Al Golden, who I believe is one of the best D coordinators in college football in his third year. You've got six-year seniors all over that defense. And, you know, unlike their offensive line, which, by the way, will have a combined 6 career starts, yikes, you look at some of the position battles that they had, and you had a guy like Adon Shuler come in and beat out Rod Hurd, who they went into the portal and poached from Northwestern, a 6-year senior. You had Christian Gray take over one of the cornerback positions. From all accounts, Benjamin Morrison, who's the best pro prospect on Notre Dame's roster, is 100% healthy after offseason shoulder surgery. So if I had to pick it, like if I was in a pick 'em pool, I probably would pick A&M just because they're at home. But look, this roster for Notre Dame is a playoff or bust roster because next year they're going to take a step back. They're not going to have as much veterans on this roster. And I think there's some, I wouldn't say there's heat on Freeman now, Marcus Freeman, but if they don't come through, and I'm not saying they could lose this game. This is the only game right now Notre Dame's an underdog the entire year in, and that Florida State game on November 9th looks a little easier now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But they don't have to win this game, but it would be nice if they won this game because if they win this game right now, they're like minus 180 to make the college football playoff. If they win this game, those odds go to like, I don't know, minus 400. Like this is the biggest game of their season, and it comes on the road on August 31st.
All three games we've talked about so far are all on ABC, so you can just watch. You don't have to worry about what streaming app. Just get an antenna and watch it.
The SEC on ABC or ESPN. I don't know. I guess I just think about that game. Like, I can't think of someone I'd rather have coming up with a game plan against Riley Leonard than Mike Elko.
No, I agree. And Mike Elko said, I think, earlier this week or last week that, you know, maybe it was coach speak, but said that he felt like his defensive line was the best in the country.
Well, I can tell you this. They lost a couple of guys, but that defensive line was not their problem last year. Those guys were nasty.
Yeah, I mean, they lost Walter Nolan to Ole Miss.
But Walter Nolan was inconsistent at A&M.
Well, and they brought in this kid, Nick Skirton, or Skorton, however you pronounce it.
Excuse me.
Skirton from Purdue. Better. And he's like a first-round pick. Like, their D-line is going to be nasty. And that's why I keep going back to the under. Like, for Notre Dame, I think the mindset is, how do we eliminate just a jailbreak on the offensive line? But to your point, Mike Elko come. I mean, there's so many weird dynamics about this game. Like, Notre Dame tried to hire Colin Klein 2 years ago, yep, to be their offensive coordinator. He's now A&M's offensive coordinator. Notre Dame, Mike Elko, saved Brian Kelly's butt in 2000. After the 2016 disaster, he came in as the D coordinator for the Irish in 2017. And then he got an offer from Jimbo, went back to Notre Dame, and they said, get out. Go to Texas A&M. So then you've got the Riley Leonard. He was Elko's quarterback last year at Duke. RJ Oben, he was on Duke as well. He's now on Notre Dame. So there's so many unique kind of wrinkles and intricacies to this game. It does feel like Connor Wegman, the quarterback for A&M, and maybe it's just the circles I run in, but it feels like he's getting like a little too much love out there, like, oh, you know, Connor Wegman, he could be pretty good if he could just stay healthy. Like,
I think neither one
of these quarterbacks, by the way,
listening to me too much because I like him.
No, I mean, neither one of these quarterbacks really played much football at all last year, right? They both dealt with injuries.
I mean, Wegman's been hurt, I think, every year.
Yeah. So it's kind of the big unknown. Like, he could come out and sling it around and, you know, and it could be quite the night for that Colt down there in College Station. But no, I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be a fun one. I'll be chewing my fingernails all night long with that one.
All right. Anything else Saturday before we get to Sunday?
Yeah, I got just a couple games that I've just listed here. So it's interesting. I saw this trend, and I'm not a huge trend guy, but this was tweeted out by Ralph Michaels, and it was saying, teams who play week zero,
yeah,
historically stink.
Yeah,
in the second.
I was going to say I'm taking. I kind of want to fade Georgia Tech this week.
Oh, dude, that's like my number one. Like, can I do it? Like Georgia State. I mean,
you got to really hold your nose there.
What a weird spot, though, because Sean Elliott, their coach, two practices into spring was like,
yeah, peace.
I'm out, going to South Carolina. Enjoy life.
To be a position coach.
Yeah. FBS teams playing game two versus an FBS team playing their season opener since 2008 are just 39% against the spread. If they lost at home, very small sample size, but if they lost at home, they're 4-11 ATS. So that would mean New Mexico and Nevada. I think Nevada, another hold-your-nose spot, because Troy lost a ton because John Summerall, their, yep, coach, left to go to Tulane. They, I believe, are returning a total of four starters. I am not a believer in Jared Parker whatsoever, their new head coach, who was the former OC of Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
That said,
the spot's the spot.
Nevada is traveling now from elevation in Reno to, I'm sure, wildly hot and humid temperatures in Troy, Alabama. And, oh, by the way, the line was 15, and now it's 8. It's moved to touchdown. So we could get Troy in a perceived kind of juicy spot there. And then you've got – and, like, Nevada just had their hearts ripped out,
yeah,
in their first ever game. They were up, what, 17 or whatever it was? And then they let SMU come back.
Yeah. I kind of like those spots. All right, LSU, USC. Whew. I can't tell which side's trendier.
It's a good question. I mean, the market's moved in favor of LSU. It's gone from 6 down to 4.5. Circa, where my studio is at, is down to 4 in favor of LSU. They're still the favorite. Look, I'll say this. Brian Kelly, historically year 3, does quite well. Cincinnati, undefeated, left before their bowl game, went to Notre Dame. Year 3 at Notre Dame, led them to the national championship game. Not the national championship. Mm-hmm. Went, led them to the game. This is year 3. But, like, am I just supposed to sit here and expect LSU, who lost the Heisman Trophy winner, two first-round wide receivers, and their offensive coordinator, be like, yeah, they're going to be good. I'm not saying they're going to stink. They've been recruiting at a high level. Garrett Nussmeier's played a lot of football.
Well, but the other problem is are we really supposed to believe that, like, every problem they had on defense was just the coordinator?
Well, they got Blake Baker. Well, I'll say this. Of the two teams, USC got the better D coordinator.
Yeah.
D'Anton Lynn comes over from UCLA. The dude's awesome. Like, I think he's a really good coordinator. And they went out and got Doug Belk, who was a rising coordinator candidate a couple years ago. He's now their D-backs coach. And then they got the North Dakota State head coach to be their linebackers coach. Like, they went out and built up this staff. Now, they got to have the players there. And then, you know, Miller Moss, I get it. Like, he played one game, a bowl game against Louisville. He looked the part. At this point, man, I give the benefit of the doubt to Lincoln Riley and his prowess as coaching up the QBs. He's got a decent track record of Baker to Kyler to Caleb. And now Miller Moss apparently is his guy. They could have went to the portal, but they said, no, we're going to roll with this dude. So it's going to be a fast track. Got a high total of 64.5. I haven't bet it yet, but I would probably look a little bit towards the Dirty Trojans here than LSU. Even though it's going to sound like a home game, man. The whole city of Baton Rouge is coming to Vegas. Like, the entire city will be here.
Does SC travel?
No.
Yeah, I was like, I don't.
Their band does.
Oh, you think we'll hear that song?
Hopefully we hear it a lot if we bet USC.
I can't tell. Which side's the trap? North Carolina -2 at Minnesota or Minnesota getting 2? I don't know. One side's a trap, but I can't figure out which one.
I don't know. I mean, I've heard differing opinions on both sides. Minnesota, what, their starting quarterback is like a kid from New Hampshire.
Was it Delaware?
Bromer? Max Brommer or something like that.
I've heard he doesn't throw the ball more than like 5 yards.
Yeah. I kind of think that is this a hot take? I think this might be the last year for PJ Fleck. He was poking around.
The problem is, where's he going to go?
Oh, I think he might get fired. Like, at some point, does that, like, ski you, ma, row the boat? Does it all kind of
run its course? He has a shelf life. But, like, I don't...
Lost his defensive coordinator at Michigan State, Joe Rossi, who was pretty highly regarded. Didn't he lose his... He lost his old coordinator a couple years back to Rutgers.
Did he fire him? He fired one.
Yeah, I don't know. I know. I know I should have an opinion on that one. I don't trust... You know, my colleague Adam Burke at VSiN, he loves UNC this year. Like, he likes their alt win total over. He likes them in this spot. Anything south of a field goal, I can't get there. You know, I'll say this to get really weird. Thursday night, we have no idea what to expect at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on
True TV.
Are
you telling me you don't believe?
I think we might have to look at Sacramento State plus the 4.5 against my guy, Ken Niumatalolo, and San Jose State.
They're running. What's that new offense that's called? It's like
spread and shred.
Yeah, spread and shred. There you go.
Craig Stutzman, the former Washington State offensive coordinator, walks in there. I believe per returning production, I think San Jose State is like bottom 5 in the country. So I have no idea what to expect from that game. I'm actually pretty excited it's on national television.
True TV.
True TV, baby. You know, it's not just March Madness anymore. If you want your Mountain West football, True TV, the place to be. So,
well, did you see the other big news from True TV? Did you see that the Impractical Jokers are moving to TBS?
What? What are they going to promote now during March Madness?
I have no idea.
That's the only thing they promoted. How many times did you fall asleep to the last game on True TV and you wake up to Impractical Jokers?
Oh, the sweet spot of when you wake up on Friday after the Thursday of the tournament is one of your TVs has Charmed on, the other TV has Impractical Jokers, one TV also has Big Bang Theory, and then you've got whatever CBS's morning show is. That's the four-song superset, if you will.
That's the trifecta there, uh-huh. And then lastly, sticking the Mountain West, I think I might take some Wyoming at Arizona State.
Is that an ASU fade?
Yeah, a little bit of that. I think there's not going to be that much of a drop-off for Wyoming after Craig Bull left. They hired from within. They've got a quarterback, Evan Svoboda. He wears 17, and he's 6'5 and 240 pounds. It's like, dude, are you just trying to be Josh Allen? Like,
I mean, it's not a bad career move.
No, I mean, hey, why not? But the only worry why I haven't gotten in the window just yet is that Wyoming's starting running back, who was, I think, second team all conference, is out for the foreseeable future. So that's a bit of an issue. But I think the whole do you know special, though, is Georgia State. I don't know if we just go first half, if we go full game. But I went back and I looked up a couple of the teams, very small sample size, who played like FBS opponents off of Ireland.
Yeah.
And usually it's a pretty slow start. Like Penn State a couple years ago was up by like a touchdown on Akron at halftime. Notre Dame in 2012 almost lost to Purdue. So could be a slow start, sluggish, you know. Got to imagine that plane ride home was pretty fun.
Yeah. All right, buddy, we appreciate it.
All right, see you guys.
Talk to Tim next week.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.